We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jordana Green, David at the helm once again. Welcome back, David. And Paul off. Paul worked for Dave this morning, and Paul is in Pennsylvania visiting Folker, his dad, and we will be back together tomorrow. But Paul's going to join us to talk about this cold as ice weather along with these roads. But David, back from vacation, and you and I didn't get a chance to work together yesterday for our memorial to Sid. How was your vacation?
Oh, it was fantastic. We had a lot of snow out in South Dakota where I was, like we are now getting here. But it was a good break and a little surreal. I was driving back, scanning through AM stations in the middle of South Dakota Sunday afternoon when I heard the news that Sid had passed away and was glued to WCCO as Daymona and Dave Lee took us through the rest of that afternoon. And then, of course, yesterday with a cast of many paying tribute to, a 100-year-old reporter that has meant so much to this community.
Really an extraordinary response on behalf of the state, certainly on behalf of WCCO Radio and, of course, the Star Tribune newspaper. And I did love listening to all the stories. And you're going to hear from Jeff Day, who was Sid Hartman's longtime editorial assistant. He shared a story with Eric Escala yesterday that I wanted to replay for you because it was modern day Sid. It wasn't the back in the day. It was Sid today, this past weekend when he was working with him. And of course, as always, our thoughts and prayers go out to the Hartman family. May Sid's memory be a blessing. David, I know you didn't get a chance to share a story about Sid. Did you want to share one now or do you want to share one later?
I can share one quickly. I remember the first time I was at the Metrodome and like going to do the post-game locker room thing as an intern. So I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm in my early 20s and I've got a little recorder that they gave me. I'm going to go down to the locker room and, try not to get in anybody's way. And I get there. And we're all waiting to get into the locker room. And there's one chair right next to the door where everyone goes in. And I just found it weird. I thought it must be the security guard's chair or something. And nobody sat in it. And it was just there. And then, through the crowd of reporters comes this old man with white hair and a wood grain tape recorder who didn't say anything to anybody. Walked straight through the crowd and sat down in what I then realized was the Sid chair right outside the locker room that was for no one else but him.
And nice. Everybody
knew
memory.
Except for me.
Good memory. That is fun. I tell you, I only have one Sid story. I came to CCO about 8 years ago. I had not met Sid prior to that. And the first time I met him, I started working at CCO in 2012, June of 2012. And we were at the fair. We were out at the fair. That was the first year I was out at the fair with CCO Radio. And I was working with John Williams in the afternoon, and I was doing the news and being sort of like his sidekick, just figuring it all out. And I remember Sid walked into the booth, and I was about to go on the air with the news. And he goes, "Can you get me some coffee?" And I said, maybe after I'm off the air, I can. And he goes, "You're on the radio?" And I said, "Yes." And he goes, "Forget it." And then he walked away. I know it's not exciting or even nice, but that's really my only Sid story I have. Jeff Day remembers him in a much more eloquent way, of course, than my silly Sid story. Jeff is Sid Hartman's longtime editorial assistant at the Star Tribune. He was with former WCCO broadcaster Eric Escala yesterday afternoon. Jeff started by describing the relationship with Sid.
I worked with Sid for over a decade and had a relationship that extended. You know, when you get to work with Sid that closely, it kind of becomes all encompassing. So he was just a very dear friend of mine, and we had a great and very close working relationship that only got closer, you know, as, you know, some of his health challenges grew as he continued his amazing life.
Now, he wrote 119 columns this calendar year in declining health and so forth. And I know people are vitally interested in what the process was to put that column, to write that column every time it was in the paper with all the challenges he faced. Can you give us some insight into how that worked?
Well, it's important to know that declining health for Sid meant different things. Sid's mental acuity was unparalleled for his age. He might have had difficulties hearing, and there may have been times where, because of that, he had to organize his thoughts verbally, and it might have taken a second. But when Sid and I sat down to write, at any moment in his life, Sid was on top of his column. Sid was in control of his column. And I was merely there to help him, as several editors and different people in the newsroom had done throughout his career. Some of the physical, you know, logistics of putting the column together during the coronavirus became very different. But that had nothing to do with Sid's physical health. That had to do with the nature of the world right now. And a lot of people are dealing with those changes. You know, so we adapted his nurses, Lacey and Larissa, who are godsends. Helped with that immensely. I said to several of the people at the Star Tribune that they deserve a salary for the work they did over the past number of months, helping to coordinate and put his column together.
Maybe pre-COVID, could you bring us through a typical day when you were assembling the column, what kind of resources Sid brought in and how you stacked them up, most important to least important? Give us that.
Of course, yeah. So Sid would sort of... We have this file. It's called the Sid file, and it is the history of Minnesota sports. You know, it's like we would just keep adding on. Sid probably used in his column, and I'm not even exaggerating here, 1/30th of the work that he accumulated in his various visits to the Gophers, the Vikings, the Wolves, the Twins, whatever he was doing. His WCCO Sunday radio shows became columns often, even though I think that's frowned upon editorially, but it was just part of the deal. And he would come in, he would have his ideas of what he would want to do. He would tell me them. I was tasked with helping to sort of get the statistical information that might help augment an argument that he was trying to make. And we would sit together side by side. It's one of the really devastating things about losing Sid in this time.
And you can hear the emotion in Jeff Day's voice as he recounts that. More of that interview, Jeff Day, Sid Hartman's longtime editorial assistant, and Eric Escala did yesterday afternoon. That's up next. Welcome back. It's 3:20. Jordana Green, David at the helm. Thank you for spending some time with us on this very snowy afternoon. Paul will be joining us at 4:00 to talk more about the weather briefly. We were hearing from Jeff Day. Jeff was Sid's longtime editorial assistant at the Star Tribune. And he spoke with Eric Escala yesterday in a very poignant and beautiful interview. Jeff here describes what a typical day working with Sid was like.
Yeah, 4:00, he comes in. He's been out making his rounds all day. He comes in, he's got his interviews with Lacey and Larissa when he had his full-time care nurses. They would be recording on an iPhone, which made life incredibly easy compared to the days of Sid's tape recorder, which stopped in 2016. And they would often send me the files directly from the locker room or the, you know, press conferences that he was at. We'd sit down. We would start transcribing interviews. Sid would tell me what he wants. Okay, I want Zimmer for the lead on this. We want a second item on PJ Fleck and the Gophers. And then we need to do some jottings off of this, this, and this. And he would always have these kind of, you know, Sid was a man of routine. And so he would always kind of have these patterns that he liked to follow throughout the course of the year. And then he would add little pieces to it with each year. Like in our newsroom, he started to learn about Twitter. He started to learn about Pro Football Focus or any of the number of new kind of online things that were providing a lot of sports writers with information and analysis. So he'd start adding those into his column. But in general, it was just a process of him coming in with a long list of interviews that he had done and then organizing them into his column. I mean, that's what we did day in, day out, week after week after week, and year after year.
I mean, when you look back on that this afternoon and say, we did 119 columns this calendar year, including on the day he passed away, I mean, that's got to be an incredible feeling of satisfaction for you.
Sid's work at when the coronavirus started, which was right on Sid's 100th birthday, as you all know really well at CCO, Sid called me and goes, I need you to get into my mind. And I knew what he meant, which was, we're going to have to work harder. I'm going to need your help a little bit more. And so it was, as it has always been, a really great honor of mine to help with that process. And when I look back at it, there was no difference in the work that we were doing, the amount of work we were putting in to make sure that Sid had a great column. The only difference was the logistical differences, and that was drastically different. And Sid was game for all of it. His nurses were game for all of it, and I was there for that too. And it was a really wonderful, thing to keep going in a time that felt very different, that continues to feel very different. I personally, and I hope his readers, found a great deal of satisfaction in the fact that Sid Hartman was always in the newspaper.
Do you mind telling us about the circumstances of that final column that ran on Sunday?
Sure. I mean, so Sid, the way that we would do a lot of this is because, you know, when Sid's at the office of the Star Tribune, he has this amazing setup that our IT department, led by Dan Barnes, put together for him that had a real-time transcription window. So when he would be talking to someone on his phone at his office, a person, you know, on a computer somewhere would be transcribing the interview in real time, and Sid would have his Bose noise-canceling headphones on, and he could hear so well and carry on communications even as his hearing started to slip a little bit. But when we lost the office and he lost the ability for one-on-one face-to-face interviews, we had to sort of change up. And so what we would do is I would type out questions. I would help get some interviews organized, or Sid would come to me and say, we want to interview this person. And then we would get questions typed up. We would get in touch with any number of the incredible sports information directors or sports PR people in the different organizations around town and get the interview lined up. Sid would hit, we would go through the questions. I would ask the questions, transcribe it, send it to Sid, put the column together, usually with a back and forth that, like I said, we've just worked together for 15 years. I know the rhythms that Sid wants to hit, and he trusts me to start that process, give it to him. He starts making changes. Either he's calling me or Lacey or Larissa are sending me a text message saying this or that or needs to be changed or move this. And then we put it together. I mean, and that was the exact same situation with the Adam Thielen column. We finished that on Thursday of last week. I got the okay from Sid at 9 o'clock on Thursday night. And we were good to go. I mean, I was getting ready, Eric, to put, I was sitting at home watching the Vikings game, preparing story ideas and getting ready to send them over to his nurses to say, what does Sid think about this idea? Because I think this turn, even for a man who was 100 years old and a man who at various times, had health issues, none of us thought that, I didn't think that he was sick. I don't think he was sick. I had talked to him earlier in the week. He seemed fine. And so even for a person of that age, where health and your life is always maybe a little tenuous, I was on Sunday acting as though we were getting ready to publish a game column. And, of course that didn't happen. But I think if Sid were alive today, we would have had a column in Monday's paper, and it would have been talking about how, the Vikings are having a tough year at home. So, it's just very abrupt, and it's something you think you can prepare for and you just can't.
Tell us why you think the fire burned so bright with Sid at age 100.
There, I don't know exactly. Sid, I once told somebody that Sid reminded me of Jiro from Jiro Dreams of Sushi, where he was some kind, there was some kind of search for perfectionism, for acceptance, for a sort of, I don't know if it's pride or if it's a question of trying to attain a certain position in the world. I don't know. Sid had everything. The man had a statue of himself. He would go to work in press boxes named after himself. He had a wonderful family. He had grandkids who he loved. He had done everything in the sports journalism world that he changed the city of Minneapolis. This city is not what it is without his efforts. And it still wasn't enough. He would always sort of belittle himself. And it fascinated me. I would hear him say phrases. I don't know if you guys heard this at CCO, but I'm going to take the river. You know, I could screw up a one car funeral. phrases from Sid that were so, you just noticed that he had a self-deprecating air and a quest for some sort of perfection that only seemed to exist within himself, because I think anybody looking from the outside would say, why are you still doing this? And people can judge that however they want, and I don't exactly know what to make of it, but I know it made him very, very special, and I know it made him the kind of person who really believed in the work that he did and thought it mattered, and I think that's a unique and thing really worth honoring.
You know, you've got a book in you, don't you?
I just have a lot of really good memories, and I miss my friend, you know.
Well, you were nice to come on and share with us, and I know it's been a tough time for you, but
thank you very much for your time.
And thanks, Jeff.
Sid loved CCO. He loved the Star Tribune. He loved this state more than anything. So thank you for all the work you guys did with him over the years. I know it was tremendous. So thank you.
That was Jeff Day, Sid Hartman's longtime editorial assistant, talking with Eric Escala yesterday. Good to hear both of their voices on the radio and share those stories. What fascinating insight. You know, he was working till the day he left us, till the day he passed. Amazing storytelling. Thank you, Jeff, for that. Let's take a quick break. When we lighten things up, we will breathe and we will talk movies. Some breathing to warm us up next. Time to breathe. If we were hearing that babbling brook in Minnesota today, it would definitely be freezing over. It is chilly today. Thank you for joining us on WCCO Radio. Thank you for joining me on Instagram Live. This is a good day to be tuning in on Instagram at Jordana Verde, because we have a very visual breathing exercise for you. This is breathing to warm you up. And even though I've lived in Minnesota 19 years now, I still don't like being cold. So, breathing to warm you up. This breath is best practiced standing, and it will simulate the blood flow to the limbs, you know, cold hands and feet in particular. Okay? It's called twisting with breath. I'm going to have to talk louder so people can hear me on the radio and you can see me at home. Stand up and put your arms out to your sides. Stand with your feet wider than your hip width apart. Take a few deep breaths to get centered. Put your arms out to your sides. Just make sure you're not going to hit anybody, or, you know, the dog or your kids aren't in the way. Nothing like that. Your husband maybe, you know, if he didn't take out the garbage before the snow started. And then what we're going to do is twist and fly your arms to each side. You're going to twist as you breathe. Twist. Do it quickly. You can increase the speed and vigor of your movements as you begin to feel warmer. For an added benefit, you can let your hands smack your shoulders as you twist. Get the blood flow there. Just let your breath occur naturally, but any movement will warm up your body and get the blood flowing. So it's called twisting with breath. Stand, feet hip width apart, arms out to your sides, breathe regularly, and twist. Twist. I look ridiculous on Instagram Live, but it's fun to see, and I'm glad that you tuned in. I hope this breath keeps you warm. Now back to Tim Lammers.
Here's the thing. I like you. I know your diagnosis complicates things, but I don't care.
Hey, me.
Do you like me?
Yes, I do.
Even though I don't have cancer?
Make your move, Romeo.
Most teenagers feel like they're invincible. Not the Superman kind of invincible. The kind of invincible that tricks you into thinking tomorrow might be a better day to start chasing your dreams.
I'm gonna throw up.
We've been through this, just breathe.
You are my best friend, so you are morally obligated to say nice things to me. Everybody else out there is not my best friend.
If everyone else doesn't like it, then they're idiots. And while there's a lot that I don't know at my age, what I do know is this. We all have limited time.
Tell me something you never told before.
You know this one. We Minnesotans know this one. It is much closer to home than other people outside Minnesota watching it. Tim Lammer's movie reviews are brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. And Tim, it's clouds.
Clouds, finally, yes. You know, this one actually was meant for the theater until May, when Warner Brothers sold the rights to Disney Plus. And now, of course, we have it on streaming. So now everybody can see it on Disney Plus. And I don't know if you watched it over the weekend. It came out last Friday, Jordana.
I didn't yet.
Just prepare yourself, because it is very, very emotional. I think we all knew it was going to be emotional. You know, it's heartwarming. It's heartbreaking. But you know what? I mean, I'm so inspired by this kid. You know, and I still, you know, look at him as a kid. You know, Zach Sobiech was 17, he was 18, I believe, when he passed away. But you feel like you really get to know him a lot more. You know, a lot of people, and I shouldn't say only know him, because this is a big only, but Clouds, I mean, that song, a transformative song that became a hit worldwide, touched so many lives. And what I think is so wonderful about this movie is, yes, you do get clouds. Obviously, it's the name of the movie, but you really get to know Zach and his family a lot more. And what an incredible family they are, you know, the Sobieks.
They were involved in the making of this movie, correct?
Yeah, they had to have been, because, you know, I guess I heard it on Corey's show. I think he interviewed the screenwriter in addition to some real-life folks. But I believe the Sobieks even gave some of the outfits to Finn Argus of Zach's. I mean, you know, they were very close to the production, as far as I know. And then, of course, this is the sort of film that you have to watch the end credits, because you do see, naturally, a lot of real-life footage of Zach and his family. Actually, you see a little bit of footage of the Clouds being sung at the Mall of America, where you have Neve Campbell and Laura Sobieck standing together singing. And, of course, Neve plays Laura in the film. And it's a terrific cast all around. A relative newcomer plays Zach, and this kid is incredible. You know, the singing, the songs. You know, again, everybody thinks just Clouds with Zach. Boy, he was such of an incredible, and to the, you know, he is. I mean, his presence is still felt. An incredible musical talent, because you hear more of his music in this film. So, oh man, it is just such of a must-see. I don't care if you're Minnesotan or not. You got to see this film. But yes, it does mean a lot more to us as Minnesotans to know what this what Zach accomplished, you know, from Lakeland, Minnesota, and of course he went to Stillwater High School.
Oh, I have to be in the right headspace. I can't imagine his family watching it.
It's not easy. It's not easy. I'm telling you. Yeah, I mean, especially if you know, and Jordana, you and I mean, we have children, and you know, some children that are of you know Zach's age when all of this was going on. The film starts. You know, it hits you right in the gut, right off the bat, with you know, learning that after 20 rounds or so of chemo, that it spread to his lung. He's considered terminal. So then he decides to live out the rest of his life. He, you know, one great line at the end, you know, he says, "You don't have to find out that you're dying to start living." Zach was never dying. He was only living. And again, there are just so many things in this film, Jordana, that are so emotional that if I keep going on it, it's gonna wreck me.
Yeah. Well, then, and we're gonna be out of time soon.
Yeah.
So I just want to quickly get to the next movie. We're not gonna play the trailer, but this is called The Trial of Chicago 9, and Sacha Baron Cohen is in it. What do you think?
Oh, boy, yeah. This is a historical film. I mean, it's a trial of Chicago 7. Actually, 8 were involved at one point. But, yes, these are people, some protesters at the Democratic National Convention in 1968. And the trial, which was very controversial, I guess, you know, it really seems to echo a lot of what's going on today, as far as, you know, protests or is it riotous, whatever, you know, and they examine that notion. Again, it's based on a true story. Sacha Baron Cohen is an incredible actor. We all know him as Borat. I am going to review that next week. But
I can't wait.
He's quite gifted and a great cast. Eddie Redmayne in this one, too.
Wonderful. Well, sorry we ran out of time, but I'm glad it was well spent on Clouds. And Tim, always great to hear from you. You and I will chat on Friday.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm sorry I went too long with Clouds, but I just cannot say enough of this movie. Definitely see it on Disney Plus.
I get it. Thanks, Tim. We appreciate you. Blois Olson moderated a debate right here from the 5th District. And we will hear from him how it went and the highlights next. Welcome back. It's 3:49. Earlier today, you heard Blois Olson on the radio. He was conducting a debate between Kendall Qualls and Dean Phillips, both running for the congressional seat in Minnesota's 3rd District. Blois, I listened. Very informative, because I don't know that much about Kendall Qualls. So great job.
Yeah, no, this is a race that 2 years ago got a lot of attention, but hasn't gotten as much attention this year. I think Dean Phillips, you know, challenging Eric Paulson last time was one of those races everybody was watching. Kendall Qualls probably hasn't had the resources to run as many TV ads or be as present, but, you know, he's an African-American executive who's, you know, very smart on the issues. And so the two of them have faced off, but this was, I think, the latest and last where they actually both were live at the same time. So good to hear their positions on the issues and give voters a chance to hear them before Election Day.
So what were the main differences between the two, and what are your takeaways?
Well, I mean, I think like any challenger, Mr. Qualls is trying to find some contrast with Representative Phillips. One was just how to deal with COVID. I think that's probably the number one issue on most voters' minds right now. Dean Phillips has been a part of this Problem Solvers Caucus, but he's also supported some of Speaker Pelosi's initiatives. So, you know, they tried to talk about how they would work in bipartisan ways in Congress. Obviously, a big contrast between who they support for president. Kendall Qualls voted for Trump last time. He says he'll support him again this time.
Really?
And the 3rd District did not vote for Trump in 2016. And so that's a difference that makes people start to, you know, dig a little deeper, I think, when they're voting. Even if Qualls is attractive on a couple key issues, you know, they're going to wonder about that. And then as an African-American, Kendall Qualls had some thoughts about both criminal justice reform and police reform. And there were some differences there as well.
Well, can you share some of them, some of the differences? What are they?
Sure.
What are the biggest points they're separate on?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the pieces is that, you know, Kendall Qualls really tried to criticize Dean Phillips on the idea that, you know, there is systemic racism, that everybody's, you know, that this feeling that, you know, there's a racial guilt in the 3rd District. Kendall Qualls was really pointed about that. In fact, he has an op-ed in the Star Tribune today. And Dean just talked about...
Does Dean not agree that systemic racism is real?
No. No, Dean agrees that systemic racism is real. Kendall Qualls says there are racists, but the system isn't racist.
Oh, interesting.
And as an African-American, that's his point of view. And he writes about it in the Star Tribune today in a way that... is very interesting in this time we're in because he was born in Harlem, grew up that way, and takes great pride in the fact that he overcame many things, but he doesn't feel like racism was one of the things he overcame. He thinks that he, you know, his hard work, his education, his military service got him to where he is today. And he doesn't doubt there are racists, but he just doesn't want the whole system or the whole country painted as being racial.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It wasn't.
Okay, is there, yeah, what are the polls saying about these two? And is there any polling on these two?
There's not a lot of polling in this race publicly at all. It would give an advantage to Phillips, but this is a swing district. There's a lot of independent voters. This is one of those districts that the president keeps pointing to where he thinks suburban women should vote for him and not vote for Joe Biden. And he talks about law and order and safety and affordable housing. So it'll be interesting to see if Dean Phillips meets or matches his numbers from a few years ago that were impressive, or that Trump's numbers, how they translate compared to 2016. I think those are the dynamics we'll watch on election night.
Well, Blois Olson, thanks for the education and great job on the debate today.
Well, thanks, Jordana. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Talk to you soon. Interesting stuff. I did get to hear a little bit of it today as I was getting ready for the show. Very interesting candidates. Before we go this hour, and don't worry, we got plenty more. Paul's going to join me in the next hour, and we are going to talk about this crazy snow that we're seeing. We're also going to talk with Stephen Belton, the president and CEO of the Urban League Twin Cities. I'm going to ask him about Kendall Qual's views on that and black votership. But I just want to let you know, I was deeply upset by the passing of Eddie Van Halen last week. And now we're learning two rockin' high rollers will be able to find out December 5th and 6th if they have won Eddie Van Halen's guitar. A pair of the Six Strings Maestro's custom-made axes, as they call them, hit the auction block in Beverly Hills. The guitars estimate $40,000 to $80,000. They were up on the auction block. That is a lot of money for a guitar. And I guess, David, because people have so much money, I guess $80,000 is nothing if you're like a huge fan of Eddie Van Halen's and it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Yeah, if that's your deal and that's the most important thing to you, you know, it's a must-have item for a man cave or something like that. I think the rest of us with normal amounts of money will just download a few songs on the internet and create a playlist. But yeah, it's a cool way to remember one of the most famous rockers ever.
Yeah. And Eddie put tape on his guitars, sort of like pinstriping them with crisscrossing graphics. He did it himself to sort of like decorate his guitars. So the guitars have that on it done by Eddie himself, which is super, super cool. There's another added layer of authenticity, a cigarette burn from a night in 2004 when he played guitar in San Antonio, Texas. He said the burn is on the fretboard where he had his Camel tucked under the strings. Now that's pretty cool, right?
So does that the cigarette burn, that's like somebody wanting like the handkerchief of some famous person. Does that do anything for you? Do you want somebody's used handkerchief of a rocker you listened to in high school?
No. Especially because the cigarettes were the cause of his mouth cancer and that's kind of a nightmare. Okay. So you knew this was bound to happen. So yeah. One of Kurt Cobain's guitars sold for $6 million. This one's only maybe $80,000 each, $40,000 to $80,000 each. But that would be an amazing thing to have. All right, when we get back, yes, Paul is out east, but he will walk us through what is going on with the weather next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.